Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, as summer has officially come to an end, so does our summer series on exploring the history of Irish cities and towns. I tell you, we've travelled across the country from Galway to Limerick to Kilkenny and Waterford, picking up incredible histories along the way. But this week, our final history tour, we're finishing off in Sligo with Mel Ní Whéilíní, local historian and tour guide who joins me now to tell me more. Mel, Fáilte Ruth, lovely Sligo. Start off in the Stone Age, yes, with the Neolithic era. Tell me a little bit about Sligo.
Yeah, sure, Cormac. So Sligo's history, I suppose, it goes back to prehistory before written records. We have one of the largest, cemeteries of megalithic tombs at Carrimore, just outside Sligo town. And there's more than 30 stone tombs there. And most of them are visible. They're like passage tombs. And then anyone who's visited Sligo would be familiar with Knocknarea, the Hill of Knocknarea. Mm. And on top of the Knocknarea, there's the Stone Cairn. And it's reputedly the burial place of Queen Maeve. And it's said that she's buried upright in the cairn, spear in hand, and still facing her enemies in Ulster.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Some of the stories as well. Streeta Strand or Streeta Beach, one of the most beautiful in the country. Connections with Sally Rooney's Normal People, of course, but also with the Spanish Armada.
Yeah. So after basically Spain's failed naval invasion of England in 1588, the Spanish Armada, which is a fleet of 130 ships, basically they're forced to flee northwards across the Scotland, around by Scotland and around by Ireland. But unfortunately, they hit violent storms and some of the ships basically are thrown off course, mm-hmm, and three of them are wrecked on Streeta Beach in September 1588. Now, it's estimated over 1,000 are drowned and about 100 survive, but many that survived actually the shipwreck, they're killed on the beach by the English forces. And then after that, actually, the native Irish robbed them. But one man, actually, Captain Francesco de Chelier, he actually survives, and he manages to get back to Spain. He wrote an account of what happened. Mm. And, he's robbed along the way and he's taken hostage, but it's a remarkable account of his time.
It truly is, and a remarkably beautiful beach as well. Go and see it if you haven't seen it. Tell me, let's flash forward a little bit then in the history of Sligo. 1641, the Irish Rebellion. Sligo was one of the key battlegrounds.
It was the plantation of Ulster, but part of Leitrim as well was planted. And there was a man called Frederick Hamilton, and he was a Scottish soldier, and he built a castle in Manor Hamilton in Leitrim. And basically during the Irish Rebellion, his castle is attacked. And afterwards, in retaliation, he goes on a rampage and he burns local villages. And then he makes his way into Sligo because some of the Irish chieftains that had attacked him are based in Sligo. Mm-hmm. And he attacks Sligo Abbey, and also the Sligo Abbey, he has the friars, they're said to be praying at the altar. He has them shot, and he has the abbey burnt down. But basically, there's a local legend that says as the soldiers return to the castle, they become lost in heavy fog, and a guide on a white horse offered to lead them to safely back over the mountain, but intentionally he led the men over a cliff and they fell to their doom. Yeah. That's the local legend anyway.
Yeah, indeed. And it's told very well by you, I can tell you. I could ask you as well at a time of COVID about the spread of cholera in Sligo in the 19th century. But if you don't mind, given time that is short, I might flash forward and I have to ask you about W.B. Yeats and the Sligo connection. I mean, how real is the connection? Sometimes people question it, you know.
Oh, I know. People say, well, it's a bit tenuous, but it is very strong. Yeats's mother was from Sligo. She was Susan Polifin. Her father was William Polifin. They owned a shipping company in Sligo. And Yeats and his brother Jack and his other siblings, they regularly went to Sligo on their holidays. And at one stage, they spent 2 years there because John Butler Yeats, he was the artist, and he had trained as a solicitor, but he didn't work as that. And the family were sort of, were poor, I suppose. those, and they used to go down to Sligo basically to spend time there. But Yeats actually came back from boarding school several times on his grandfather's ships, came back to Sligo. And also, like, you know, he, all the people he talked to on his grandfather's estate and the sailors, they all inspired a lot of his poetry and the scenery as well. Like Jack Yeats as well, you know, his we have an extensive art collection of his in the Nyland Gallery here in Sligo. And, you know, he said every time he painted, he thought of Sligo. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, his parents were, his grandparents were from Sligo, and he regularly spent time here. And of course, then when he knew he was dying, he told his wife, Georgie, basically that he wanted to be buried back in Sligo. And in 1948, the Irish Navy bought his body back, and he's under Ben Bulbin now.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful setting, isn't it, where he's buried
there? Oh, it is,
there.
Yeah.
Finally, I might ask you about Sligo's involvement in World War II.
Yeah, well, because we're so close to the border here, and, you know, several military planes, you know, crashed on the mountains, unfortunately. But one actually, we're quite lucky. They crashed on the Mullochmore Beach in 1942, and it was full of US airmen, and they were all welcomed locally and put up in the local hotel. But another bizarre story actually that happened during the war was actually there was a US spy in Ireland, and he visited Sligo as well, and his name was Martin Quigley, and he worked for the intelligence services in the US, and his undercover role was that of a representative of the motion pictures. And, you know, he was pretending that he was in Ireland to negotiate on Irish censorship of American films. But his actual real mission was to find out information on Irish neutrality and the Irish government's attitudes to the US and to Germany. And to this end, he actually spent time in Ireland going to the cinema, quite bizarrely. He visited the two cinemas in Sligo, the Gaiety and the Savoy, and he would talk to the cinema managers and the clergy, and he was sussing them all out. And he even met with Eamon De Valera, and no one ever knew that he was a spy.
Well, sounds like a great job to me, I can tell you. Look, we'll leave it there. There's a short history of Sligo, which is one of the more beautiful towns in the country. Melanie Whaleney, tour guide and local historian, thank you very much.